gotten into. Ran my 3 miles to clear my mind. It always helps me out. It's my therapy when I'm losing it, which is usually. Hey, I'm on an emotional roller coaster. Loving you ain't nothing healthy. Loving you was never good for me.
Oh, 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 oh Alrighty, welcome back to Global 14. The Cut goes down every Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, and 5 p.m. Pacific. I guess I'm nervous. Host Onyx on the line with you. Also, the other host and the homie, Golden. Please, what's up?
Yes, yes. Back again for another Wednesday. Big night, man. We got a soulful songstress on the line with us, man. She got a smooth little voice on her, man. Really love her voice. I'm glad we got her on the show tonight, man. Philly represented, too. You know, some real people come from Philadelphia. Shout out Philly, man.
Absolutely, most definitely. It's definitely a dope night. Again, Vivian Green, special guest this evening, you guys, if you're just now tuning in, checking in with us. Again, it's first time listening tonight. This is Global 14 The Cut via Jermaine Dupree's global14.com. So make sure you also go over to that website, check it out, see what's good with JD and the squad as well. So, yeah, like you mentioned, we got Vivian Green coming on tonight. A lot of you are familiar with her number one record that came out, Emotional Roller Coaster. I know that was the first time I was introduced to Vivian Green, and definitely was as well, became a fan and just, you know, in love with her voice. So it's really dope to be a fan and then to grow up and be among the industry and get to interview people that you looked up to. So it's really exciting tonight. So all of you fans,
yes,
and anybody listening,
I remember the flower
ahead,
in her hair from the video still.
Yes, like the Billie
Holiday.
No,
I was just saying, I remember the flower of it. Yeah, man, it's real,
dope.
Real dope, man, and real naturally, but natural beauty, you know what I'm saying?
Yes,
like,
yes.
It's crazy that we're interviewing her, because we were just talking a little bit about that the other day, like the soul singers, and, you know, it was when Tank went on his tirade about the music industry and, you know, wondering how other singers felt about that. So it'd be interesting to talk to Vivian about it to see what her take is on it as well, because I know I've seen a lot of interviews with Tank, Tyrese, some different people, you know, talking about, you know, where they stand in R&B. So it'd be interesting to see if she has an opinion on that tonight.
Absolutely. So we definitely don't want to do too much talking. We want to make sure you guys get an opportunity to call in. And let me tell you this, what's so dope about Vivian Green. She actually is already on the line. And so I'm like, we definitely need to get her on so we can get rolling with the interview. So fans, hopefully you get an opportunity to say something to her. We're not going to take too much of her night up, but 760-913-4119 is going to be the phone number for you to dial in. And if you want to speak to Ms. Vivian Green and she's still on the line, you most certainly are welcome to do so. So we want to bring her on shortly. And we did give you a little snippet of the single, but we're going to go ahead and drop that right now. So let's get into this single. This is actually, like, exclusive, I'm told. So this is really dope to have this and, you know, be one of the first to be able to play it. So, you guys, this is Vivian Green. Get right back to my baby, and she's back with us for the live interview, Global 14 The Cut.
Yes, sir.
What you did to me this morning had me late for work. I'm stressing, miss my meeting. All I'm thinking about is you.
And now I'm looking at the clock, counting the hours in my back, and you're on, which I never had.
Welcome back to Global 14. The cut that was Vivian Green with Get Right Back to My Baby, and we do have her on the line as promised special guest, Vivian Green. Hello.
How are Turn you? Up.
Hi. What's up, guys?
Man,
I hear you guys rocking that new song. It sounds so good.
It really does. That new record is so dope. Love the sample. Love what you did with it.
Thank
dope,
you
dope,
so
dope.
Much for playing. I appreciate that early love. I love it. Thank you.
So also got the other host, Golden, on the line as well. We both want to
Hello.
Take her.
How you doing, Miss Green? I'm just
How
back here
doing?
Grooving to the sounds, man. I'm doing great. Back here grooving to the new record. You know, you bought that classic back real nicely. Put that nice voice
like
on there.
It
sound
oh,
real
thank
good.
You. I'm so happy.
Yeah. Nah, it sounds great.
You know that'll be like my first up-tempo single like ever. So I'm excited to hear like the responses from people because. People are used to me, you know, singing ballads. So I'm excited about the difference. And I'm hoping people really like it, you know, because it's still me. It's just some energy for a change, you know.
Absolutely.
It sounds great, man. It sounds great.
Thank you.
Shout out to Kwame, the legendary Kwame.
He produced the whole album.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, he produced the whole album. It's actually under his label, under Universal Caroline. So, yeah. Yep. So, if you guys are familiar with his work, Annie, he doesn't do anything that doesn't have energy.
That's right.
Even
that's
the
ballads right.
have, like, some type of a bounce to them. So, it's really a different record, but it's very much still me. It's not gimmicky or me trying to, you know, be a teenager or, you know, none of that. It's still very soulful,
right.
just like the single, very soulful, but things you can dance to, things that are more upbeat and not so, you know, oh, my baby left me. <I'm sorry>.
let me slip my wrist. He's gone.
Exactly.
Nah.
Like,
yeah.
No, not this time.
Oh, my goodness. You know, that's so funny that you said that and how you make a point to mention that because I did hear you in a couple other interviews and read somewhere where you said, you know, you're in a different space than you were when you first started out. And just
yeah.
to backtrack with you.
Yeah, I mean,
you.
Am I ever? Yeah,
mm-hmm.
like, I'm sorry mm-hmm. to cut you off. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. This is your night.
But, I mean,
so
I really
to have
am.
You.
I think people, because of the music that I was singing, it was mature, you know, and people mm-hmm. always assume that I was older than what I was when I, you know, on my debut album, A Love Story, but, you know, I wasn't 30, you know, I was just turned 21, you know, so I don't think people realize that I was barely a grown woman.
Right,
you know,
right.
talking about my first love and writing about my first big heartbreak. That's what that Emotional Roller Coaster song was about, my first album was about. But I wasn't a full-grown woman yet
right.
at all, you know. so much growth between then and now. It's like, now I'm grown now, very much so. But, you know, it's like I'm not going to be the same person that I was then. And a lot of times it's hard when people, when fans want to just hold on to a certain thing or a certain sound or a certain song, you're like, you know, if you let me try something else, you might like that too, but you got to give me a chance.
That's
you can
right.
make me
That's
married
right.
to my first single forever. That's so unfair.
You're absolutely right. You're right. And it's
yeah.
funny because we fans take it so personal, and it's like, yo, you know, give me this chance. So, and we do, though. So then, Miss Green, let's go back to then. Like you said, you were only 21. How did it feel the first time you heard Emotional Roller Coaster on the radio?
You know, I've always been one not to ever get super duper too excited about anything because I feel like, oh, if I get too excited, this is gonna go away. So I was like, okay. All right, I'm doing a little something. Okay. But I was like, keep calm, breathe, don't get too excited, don't get too full of yourself, chill. You know, that's kind of how I always am about anything great that happens. I still make sure my feet are completely on the ground and my head is not ever getting big, and I'm very appreciative, you know, for every blessing I've had, past and present, and I just take it in that way, you know. So the mm-hmm. first time I heard it, I was definitely happy, but I was like, okay, chill.
yeah, that's
we'll be
good.
Grateful,
that's...
chill, you know, but keep going, keep working.
Yeah, that's awesome, because I know that you come from a musically inclined family, and we, you know, we know you. Pretty much your history being fans and just kind of having followed a little bit and even preparing for tonight. So we do know that, you know, you have kind of had some experience in knowing that you had to keep working and whatnot in this industry. So I will say this, I was surprised to know that at one point you were going to consider not even being full time in the industry, you know, longevity
yeah.
wise. Can you share with us why that was, that, and what brought you to that place?
I'm trying to think when I would have said that. Probably sometime after sometime after Vivian, which is my second album, probably, because, you know, I have a special needs son, and I had like a long hiatus between Vivian and Beautiful. Beautiful is my third album. And during that time, there were just so many personal things that I needed to handle and deal with that, you know, I didn't know if I would, you know, be built enough to put the type of energy and time that you have to put into being a recording artist, you know. But the great thing about that is Jordan is my son, by the way. Like, the first 5 years were, like, really, really difficult, in the hospital a lot, procedures all the time. And I can really, you know, it's taxing, it's weighing, and then you don't want to leave and be gone for long periods of time with your, you know, fragile child at home and you're not with them. So, you know, I was just battling those things. But eventually I got over, and I said, girl, you better get up and go back to work. That's pretty much what happened. But, yeah, I was feeling like, I don't know, this is for me. I want to be with my baby. But those years were really amazing, just for my own personal growth and spiritual growth and just becoming a better person and just all those things that you need to go through to get to the next plateau in your life or who you're going to be. And that time was definitely really important for me. So I'm glad that I had that time, you know, and it's definitely been difficult trying to come back, because when you're gone for so long, it's not easy to get back, you know. It's not at all, but I know that I'm a very determined person, so here I go again.
That's
people might
right.
not have known about Beautiful, and some people might not have known about The Green Room, which were the two albums I had under E1, but here I go again, you know. I'm going to keep coming.
That's
and
right,
the good
you
thing
know, and we have to commend
that,
you.
Oh, thank you so much, thank you. The good thing about it, the really great thing about it is, you know, when you don't hear from somebody in a really long time, you're like, oh, what happened to her? What is she doing? And all, and then, you know, you think negative things, and oh, did she have to get a 9-to-5 or this or that or whatever. And the great thing, the blessing in my life is that I have written pretty much 90% of any music that's ever been published, you know. So that's always been there for me as a cushion, you know, when things might not have been as going as well. And then I also do perform live, you know, so even when I don't have an album or someone didn't hear from me, I'm on the road, still performing, still doing shows, you know. And, you know, so there's different revenue streams that artists have, even if you don't hear from them, you know, especially nowadays. Some people don't even have music on the radio at all, but they can sell out a venue, you know. Now it's so different. So a lot of people are like, girl, where you been? I'm like, I've been here. I've been back since
absolutely.
2010. I'm here. I'm around.
You know, and it's funny that you said that as well, because we were talking to Golden. I was like, you know, the soul genre, what's so great about that, whether you want to be classified in it or not, it never leaves.
Mm-hmm.
You always have that fan base, the D'Angelos,
mm-hmm.
the Jill Scotts, yourself.
Yeah, you know what? They buy records and they come mm-hmm. to shows, you know, so.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
They most certainly do. So you came back from the break, and it's like, you know, it's like you never left with us, to be honest with you, because
yeah.
you're able to fall
mm-hmm.
right back in where you fit in. What has part of the industry has changed since you've been back that you're like, okay, this is new for me?
Oh, my gosh. It's the whole Twitter and Instagram thing. Like, I try hard. I get so fussed at by my record label. Like, you have to
sweat more and you have to get more power.
But, like, someone opened up my Twitter and my Instagram account for me both. I think my Twitter account opened in 2011 or 10 or something like that, and I was barely tweeting anything. And then when my Green Room album came out in 2012, I guess I got a little bit, you know, more active. And it's hard for me because I guess I'm more of a private person, and you know I have a special needs kid, and I homeschool him. So a lot of my daily, you know, life when I'm not on the road and when I'm not, you know, doing an interview like I'm with you guys or not on stage, it's like I'm with my kid, and it's like it's so private to me, and it's like I don't want to take a picture of my food or at dinner with my son, you know. It's
right.
Very difficult. But I have to find that balance because it is important, and a lot of people learn things or learn you have an album from social media, you know, and you have to use it. It's definitely a promotional tool, and so I have to continue to adjust to that, you know. So it's a challenge for me, but I'm trying. If I didn't have Jordan, it would definitely be easier. But, you know, he's with me all the time, and it's like that's private, you know. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
So with that,
I get fussed at all the time. I get fussed at. I was just in a meeting on Monday and got fussed at. Yep.
Oh my goodness. Well, that's good that you have a team that's on top of it to keep, you know, keep you reminded that you got to get on there and tweet or whatnot. So
yep.
Then,
they definitely do.
You said you're a private person. What do you think about these reality shows? Would you ever be open to doing any of that for any aspect of sharing your story?
Probably
or
not.
Even
I honestly, that's my gut answer is no, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it depends on it's like the twins, C and Tamir, their show is not ratchet, it's not ghetto, it's very tasteful. Same as Mary as well. There are some shows that do not represent us, black people, in a bad light, you know. So I can't say all of them are horrible, but I think it's just very few that I think are tasteful. You know what I'm saying? Like, tasteful. It shows us in a good light. It shows us speaking, like we know how to speak.
Right.
And, you know,
right.
Classy and, you know, it just, and then there are some other images that, you know, it's like, wow, we need positive images out there, you know, but there's so many negative images of black people, and I do hate that, you know. I have to admit that I do, you know. But again, there are some shows that are tasteful, so I don't know if something came along that I thought was, you know, tasteful and, you know, not super hood and trying to create drama that doesn't even really exist for the sake of the camera, you know. I would think about it, just say that.
Absolutely,
but
no, that, and we can respect that.
Mm-hmm. And you know, the other thing about me, so let me just keep it all the way real. I'm not the girl. I'll be the one that gets kicked off, you know. I'm not the one to have somebody in my face pointing their finger, and I'm not and screaming and doing everything but touch me, you know. And if we touch them, we get kicked off. Like, that's not gonna ever be me, you know. I'm not a passive in that way. So if something crazy is going on, I'm going to say, and whatever's going to happen is going to happen, and I'll probably be the one that gets kicked because I have no nonsense when it comes to that. I don't have time for
funny.
That type of, you know, drama in my life, and I would definitely address it head on, and, you know, I don't think that it wouldn't even probably be good for my image, you know what I'm saying? Like, she can get good.
Like, wait a minute, this is not the Vivian Green we know. And it's
exactly.
funny that you said that because we always talk about on the show, we're like, man, that kind of hurt his career or this kind of helped their career. So it can either hurt or you know, break. But I definitely want to know because I know that you said, you know, with, again, you having the balance and caring for your son and experiencing different things within the industry and your child as it relates to the surgeries and your even just taking your break, do you have a nonprofit that you have right now? As far as that concerns, any nonprofit?
Oh, I'm Different Campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm Different Campaign. Yeah. So you mean would I do something like to support that? Is that what you're asking?
Absolutely. Well, more so. Yes. Do you have anything in place right now that you would want to bring more awareness to, as far as
Yeah, definitely the I Am Different, I Am Human campaign. I definitely want to bring more awareness to that. We're going to do a PSA that's going to roll out the same time like as the release. So I know I want to get it on YouTube, and I really, really am trying hard to get some sponsorship to get it on TV. But, you know, you have to start you have to start small, and then, you know, and then it'll grow. But I'm definitely working on a PSA that I want to release the same time that the record releases. So, yeah, you know, I do speaking engagements and things like that, and it's definitely something I've been pregnant with for the longest time. But I feel like I was saying, the first 5 years with Jordan, I felt like I didn't have time to do anything else but be his mother, you know. And now that things are really great and he's doing really, really well and he's healthy, I can take the time to do that now, you know. But I've definitely been pregnant with the idea, like, since I had him, you know, and now I can get out there and, you know, and execute it. So I'm super, super excited about that. I was going to say something, and I forget what I was going to say. Oh, the last speech I did, I spoke in Philadelphia, this event for the mayor's office, the mayor's commission on people with disabilities in Philadelphia. I was the keynote speaker, and I got some really great awards and citations, and I did this speech, and Jordan was a part of my speech, and he had his little piece to say with me, and he was so perfect. He said it perfectly. He's so confident and, you know, social. He's so much more social than I am. He's like,
right.
I could definitely be shy and a little, you know, but he's very outgoing, so, you know, I'm just excited to just have him be a part of it with me as well, you know, because these are things that we do talk about. I talk to him about his differences. I talk to him, you know, about the fact that he's different all the time, just so he's aware, you know, and he knows how to move throughout life and in public and things like that. So I definitely want him to be a part of it with me. And I have a really great friend named Charles Horton, who actually runs the mayor's office on the mayor's commission on people with disabilities in Philly. He runs the office, and so he's really excited about helping me take the I Am Different, I Am Human campaign to the next level. So I'm definitely going to be on that this year. I'm very excited about it.
That is such a blessing, and I know that's going to be a great inspiration and a wonderful testimony for those who are going to be new to the campaign and new to Vivian Greene as well, the artist and the mother, and to Jordan. And so that's great. You're going to give a lot of mothers inspiration to know that it does get better and to keep their faith. So that's amazing. Thank you for sharing that with us. Thank you so much.
No problem.
And you have such a warm spirit. It's just like, who can't help but love Vivian Greene. Golden,
thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, no, this interview and insight into, you know, Vivian Greene, her life, her son, it's so dope. You know, we only, you know, see these and hear these artists' music, you know what I'm saying? And we're like, oh, we love their music. But then when we get to talk to you guys or interviews, we find out so much more, you know what I'm saying? The love you have for your son, you know what I'm saying? Champion that cause. And like Onyx said, I think people need to see that, you know, like you were saying, the reality TV could be so ratchet, but hoping they will start bringing a balance to it and start showing stories. Like, you know, if you wanted to do something like that, or like you said, Tia, Tamara's stories, and even Nelly. I think Nelly has a great reality show that a lot of people might not watch, but it shows him raising his...
Okay, no, I didn't know he had one. Is it nice? Okay. I always liked
it.
Yeah,
it's a good one.
Up for his sister.
No, Nelly, he's actually raising his sister's kids in the reality show. So it just shows him,
passed,
you know,
right?
In the process. Yes. So it's pretty nice. So hopefully we get more.
You're
going
to make me tune into that. You just, you know, I'm going to watch it now that you told me about that. I did not know. I'm going to watch. Yeah,
it's a cool show. You could catch it on Hulu. You know, that's where I went and watched episodes back to back to back, and I was like, wow, I hope more people see this, because Nelly's really showing it, you know, a positive side of fatherhood and everything else. But back to you before, I got to talk to you from a male's perspective, Miss Vivian Greene, because when people first see your face, you know, we first seen your face, we're like, wow, this is a beautiful young lady. And when I knew when you were young singing those type of songs, I was thinking to myself, is this really like her, or is somebody telling her you need to sing like this? Because is Vivian Green the romantic type, or are you the type to... I remember a video where you was rubbing this guy's face, and I just remember saying, damn, that's a lucky dude. She really, like, rubbing his face. She's just sitting in the chair taking it. Is Vivian Green a romantic?
Well, I have to say, that was definitely... it's so funny that you mentioned that, because that was definitely... seen in that video that I fussed with the director over.
Oh.
I was like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I'm not going to be comfortable. Because like I said, I can definitely be a little shy. And sometimes I need to come out of my camera shell. You know, he's like, no, this is, it'll be sexy. The song is sexy. And he wanted it to be like on a bed first. And then move from a bed to like a chaise lounge. I was like, no, no. He's like, okay, what about a chair? What about a chair? I was like, okay, I'll do a chair. So it definitely was not my idea to do that, but I did follow through with it anyway. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, well, you were a good sport about it, and you made it look believable. I remember watching that video.
Good.
Man, that's a lucky dude right there, getting his face stroked and everything. I'm like, Vivian.
Cut it out.
Let me stop embarrassing you. I'm sorry about that. Let's talk more about your music, because like Onyx said, the music industry is a lot of changing. You got the Instagrams, you got the Twitter, a lot of social media, TMZ, but a lot that we've been finding out, especially from songwriters, which you mentioned you wrote about 90% of your material, which is great for your publishing and everything. How do you feel about what you know, artists like Tank are saying about the music industry, with R&B, specifically Aloe Black, his rant against Spotify, Tyrese talking about, you know, how, you know, you could feel underappreciated with the type of real music that they're trying to make. Do you have a sense of any of that? Do you feel that way at all?
You know, I'll probably go even above what they said and say that since iTunes came along, the industry has been different. iTunes and Napster, that's when everything started. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's
right.
Hard nowadays to get a gold album. You know what I mean?
Right.
I hold on to my first gold plaque. Like, okay, I got you. I did it, you know? That was super hard to do now, but I had one, you know, but it's hard. Like, it's almost like gold is the new platinum, you know, and just the way that technology is, it's definitely affected sales, you know, and I find myself, I'm guilty as well, because if I don't feel like, because I'm horrible, I don't have, like, music on my phone or iPad or whatever, so I still like tangible CDs, you know, but if I'm in the kitchen and I have a MacBook Air, which does not have a CD drive, so if I'm in the kitchen and I'm cooking, and I'm like, oh, I want to hear Stevie Wonder, you know, and I'm like, dang, you know. So I'll go on YouTube and just listen to it for free. You know what I'm saying? And it's like,
right.
So I'm guilty as well. I'm guilty as well, but I do have it, you know, but I've done it. I mean, I'm just saying I've done it. So I think technology making everything so super convenient has definitely affected, you know, the music industry. Absolutely, absolutely. And then a lot of artists, you know, who make a different type of music or more organic music, they don't fit certain radio formats or FM radio. So you're just not going to get played. So the online stations, I think they're actually great, you know, for the artists can do very well. And somebody will say, oh, I've never heard of them before at all, but they can sell out a venue because they have great online marketing. So it's like a gift and a curse almost, you know, because I think it's great for the indie artists nowadays, like with the web is great for indie artists, but, you know, maybe not so great for another type of artist. So it's definitely it's a gift and a curse.
You're right.
Yeah, you just have
I think
to,
100%
you know,
you hit the nail on the head. It's a gift and a curse depending on where you are in your career. Like you said, for indie artists, it has removed the gatekeepers, you know what I mean? If you got some product, you can get it to the masses, but then again, you know, if you're an established artist, you know, you got
to
compete with a lot of that saturation and people just streaming your music.
Yeah, you have to reconnect with fans. Yeah, because you have to reconnect with fans that are listening for you on radio, you know, where indie artists that stays indie, that's always indie, their fans know where to find them. But for, you know, an artist that's been on the radio for the past 10 years, like, if they don't have a high TARP position, it's almost like, well, I didn't know they had anything out. You just don't know. You think they didn't do anything. You know what I'm saying? Because their audience is looking for them online. They're looking for them to play on the radio. So, it's definitely, it's a lot.
Yeah, no.
But, you know, hopefully artists can figure how to, get in where they fit in and can make a good marketing plan with their marketing teams and figure out the best ways to market them, you know? And I'm going through a lot of this stuff right now, you know, so that's why I'm so passionate speaking about it because, you know, I've gone through it with my last album. And, you know, we're trying to figure our exact marketing plan out now, you know. Like I was saying, I was just at my label on Monday, and we're trying to figure out all the things that we need to do to reconnect with my audience. A lot of my audience doesn't think I had an album since 2006, you know. My God, I've got to leave Vivian album, you know. So I have to reconnect with those fans. How do we find them, you know? So,
right.
And then the core fans that buy everything I put out, they'll definitely rock with me, you know. But we got to, you know, wake up the fans that think I have just been completely obsolete for almost 10 years, you know.
Right.
That's not easy, you know. It's definitely an uphill battle, but I'm ready for it. I got my armor on, you know. I'm ready.
Philly girl. You're a Philly girl, man. You'll be
able
to.
Yeah, I'm ready.
You know, tough it out. But, you know, that was the second part of my question because it can be a lot. And when we interview artists, they always tell us that. Where's the inspiration continue to come from? I often compare it kind of to sports. When you got these guys that win championships and go all through the off season and they come back and try to win it again and win it again, where does Vivian Green's inspiration come from? Knowing all of this stuff is going on, how hard it can be, like you said, you don't even know if you can even come close to gold anymore. But what drives Vivian Green to say, you know what, I want you guys to hear my voice still. I'm going to still come out, do this thing, because whether you love it or you want your fans to continue to know you here, what's Vivian Green's inspiration to stay around?
The first thing on my list would be that I just love music, you know. That's what I love to do. I could be in a room with 400 or 4,000 people performing, and I am so happy, you know, because that's what I love. Forget the superficial part of the music business and just strip it down to that. I'm genuinely happy when I'm doing that, you know, and I want to continue to do something that makes me happy. And, you know, thank God I'm still able to do it and make money. I may not make the same money that I made before, you know, but I can still earn a living, you know. And as long as I'm able to do that, I'm probably going to always continue to put out music because I just love to do it, you know. I've been writing songs since I was 11 years old at the piano. It's just what I love, you know. So I think that's the main thing that keeps you going is your music, the music, you know.
The passion. No, that's dope.
Yeah, your passion for it.
I wanted to ask you because following your career, you know, I've seen you do. I've heard you do music with Guru, one of my favorite rappers. I think you were on his Jasmine Taz album. I also remember seeing Freeway in one of your videos. Are you a hip hop head, Vivian?
I love hip hop. You know that I love hip hop from like late '80s, like early '90s. That's when I was growing up. You know, that's when I was in middle school. In high school, around that time, I graduated in 97. So from like 88 to like 97, that hip hop, oh man, I know like every word.
a lot of old school
hip hop stations are popping up around the country. So I'm super excited about that. There's one in Philly, and you know, I rock that all the time. That's all I listen to when I'm in Philly. Put that station on, I'm good. So, yeah, I love that stuff. I love hip-hop from that era. Love it, love it, love it. I remember being a little girl. I'm not sure what year Self-Destruction came out, but I had to be, like, 9 or 10 or something like that, or 8, 9 or 10 around there. And I remember, like, I'm going to learn all the words to this. I'm going to learn all the words to Self-Destruction. And I sat there all day until I knew all the verses.
Dope.
You know, so that's the time I'm from, you know. That's what I grew up in, you know. And now my brother, I have an older brother, he's he's 5 years older than me, and so I wanted to do everything he did, you know. And he was rapping, and he had a rap group, and all he listened to was that hip hop. So I wanted to listen to whatever he was listening to, you know. I'm little, and he's my big brother. Everything he listens to is cool to me. So I'm like, I want to hear what record Steve is listening to. I want to hear this hip. So I know all that hip hop from that era is totally cool. And you know what's really cool about being on Kwame's label is that he's friends with all of them, you know. So it's so cool. Like last year I did the Tom Jordan Cruise, and he did it as well, but they had this whole like hip hop all stars old school concert, and it was, you know, Dane and Dane and Chris Flow and Kwame and Tub Rock and Kid and Play. I'm, you know, I was in heaven, you know, and he's like, that's my dude, that's my boy. I'm like, you're friends with these guys. So it's really cool. I definitely get to come across, you know, hip hop legends, you know, now hanging out with Kwame. It's definitely one of the fun parts about working with him. Yeah.
Nah, that's so awesome, man. I kind of figured you were into hip hop, and now you're working with Kwame. You know what I'm saying? One of the originals. But you know, I like to find out fascinating things about you. You know, I went on your Twitter, and I kept saying to myself, I'm becoming even more of a Vivian Green fan through the knowing we're gonna interview her, because I see you watch House of Cards, which is one of my favorite shows. So we got to talk a little bit about this season real quick. I need to know what you think about.
All right, let's talk. Did you finish watching it?
I finished it all. I'm done.
Okay, I did too. No, I did too. It was horrible. I felt horrible. Like, this is terrible. You're a horrible person. You're going to sit in front of this TV for all these hours?
Yo, this weekend that just passed, I finished it all. I was like,
I finished it all too.
Because I thought I was... I hit my boy up because he's a big fan, and I'm like, yo, Frank is wilding, right? He was like, don't tell me. I ain't watching. I'm like, you're not done yet? And he looking at me like, you already done? So now that I know you're done, I feel better.
You don't feel as bad? I was sitting there like, this is horrible. This is terrible. You just go do something productive. That was awful. But hey, that's my guilty pleasure, you know. I don't have too many. That's definitely one of them, so it's all good. So I've read, like, online that a lot of people didn't like it because the Underwoods didn't get as down and dirty as they had in the first and second seasons. But I thought the writing was brilliant because he's the president now. So he can't, you know, just be killing people like he did before. It had to tone his behavior down a bit because it would be unrealistic. You know what I'm saying? So I thought it was brilliant. I love how... the battle with he and Claire this season. I was not expecting that because I always expect them to be super duper tight and evil together. So I was very surprised to see that dissension between them. That was shocking for me.
Well, the audience is probably listening like, what the hell are they talking about right now? But we're not going to go off on too much of a tangent. But, yeah, I agree with you 100%.
Oh, did I give too much away? I don't think I did.
No, I'm talking about, we got the listeners that's probably like, we want to call Vivian Green, and they like, yo, Golden over here talking about House of Cards with Vivian Green. But, I agree with you 100%. I think that they couldn't write it the same way because he is now the president, and I think that they just put another battle in the place of the battles that he had with all these other people. They put another one in there that was a huge one between him and his wife, and I thought that writing was...
That's like the ultimate battle, because I'm like, dang, what is she going to do? They're both so evil, so if they're not together being evil, I'm afraid.
So we'll be looking
forward to
that.
I'm afraid of what they do to each other.
You know how they get down. You never know. But we're looking forward to the next season. I was so happy to find out you was a fan. I was like, I got to ask her about House of Cards because that's one of my favorite guilty pleasures as well. We're going to switch back to Vivian Green. Audience, forgive me and Vivian for going off on that tangent. But if you don't watch the show, watch the show. It's a pretty dope show. So let's get back to music. I want to ask you about a question that I've always had for every female R&B artist, the role model question. We have a lot of female artists that are great that we follow, the Beyoncés, the Rihannas, the Adeles, you know, the Christina Aguileras. But now, you know, we also have our tragedies that we hate so much with the Whitney Houstons and, you know, now with her daughter and, you know, different things like that. Where does Vivian Green see herself amongst empowering young girls and women? Do you feel like you take that into consideration very much when you're doing your music, or is it just, listen, I'm going to do the music I like, hope everybody likes it, but I'm not too concerned about the role model stamp?
You know what, I definitely take social responsibility, but I think when you become a super duper star, that your social responsibility is even greater, you know. It's
right.
Greater, and you should feel that burden, you know. And I think a lot of people, some people do it and some people don't, you know, whatever. But I do, I definitely keep those things in mind. I always do, but here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
I am not, I'm pretty conservative my own self, you know. So certain things I would just never do anyway, you know. So I don't even necessarily have to think about the young girls because I would never do that. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
So I can be
right.
A little, you know, conservative and corny, so to speak, if you will. Someone might think that, but there's certain things I would just never do. Certain things I would just never say in a song, you know. And that
mm-hmm.
is definitely all attributed to my parents and the way they raised me. I have to give them that credit because I would be.
Nice.
I would be embarrassed to let my mother hear, you know, a song where I'm being, you know, super explicit and, you know, just saying things
right.
that I know would, like, give her a heart attack. Like, I just never want to do that to her, you know? So,
right.
So for me, it's not, I don't feel like I have, like, I don't have on a leash when it comes to making what I want to make. It just happens, it just so happens that what I want to make is not, you know, it's not explicit and it's not something that a young girl, you know, should totally close her ears to, you know. And I might have a
right.
sexy song here and there, you know, but it's not, again, it's not explicit, you know, it's not.
Tasteful.
Yeah, it's always tasteful, you know. I always try to be tasteful and classy in what I do, you know. And when I go to speak, at, you know, a lot of times when you are doing a marketing campaign, they have you go into schools and speak to this middle school or this high school. And when I do those things, I always tell them, like, listen, stop thinking what you guys see on TV is hot. Like, it's all not hot. And you don't know what compromises that people have made in their own lives to even
right.
be able to present those images to you. Like, you don't know if that person is happy just because they have money. Money does not equal happiness. It really doesn't. You know, just because somebody has this
right.
car or these diamonds or these shoes, don't get caught up in that because that is not what life is about. But it's definitely the message that a lot of people promote in their music, and that's the frightening thing for me and young kids because these young kids worship some of these artists that do
yes,
that. And
big
it's
time.
Like, they're walking around talking about name brands that, God, you know, hey, maybe they'll be able to afford it one day, but maybe they won't, you know? And it's like
right.
you just don't want a 12-year-old girl, you know, thinking about red bottoms, like, girl, go to school.
Right.
Thinking about that now,
right.
like, why do you even know what that is? You know. So
right.
I think it's sad to see a lot of children who don't have, you know, parents like mine, you know, to say turn that off, or you're not watching that, or like me, like Jordan, I don't know if he's watched the video station for more than 5 minutes in his life, and it was over in Auntie's house. You know what I'm saying? Like. I don't
right,
do that. Like,
right.
he's not going to, you know, there'll be a certain point in his life where I'm like, okay, you know, you're 15, you can watch whatever. But, like, now at 10, like, no, you don't need to see anything that's on most of these stations,
right.
you know. I don't let him watch it. But, you know, a lot of parents are not that way. And you're 9, 8 watching whatever comes on, you know, some of these video stations, which is a lot of it is very inappropriate, you know. So it's
big
just
time.
Unfortunate when you have children who don't have the proper you know, family structure and protective parents that are supposed to shield them from these things, and the parents walking around thinking that it's just as hot as they do.
Yeah.
Like,
that's what I was about to say, that the parents be twerking in front of the kids.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
and it's like, oh,
let me get this twerk video
cycle.
Done. I'll be right there.
Exactly. And it's like, this is just a bad cycle, you know. It's a bad cycle, you know. I pray for I pray for our black people in the United States in general. We need prayer. We do.
Yeah,
We do.
I was talking about just the other day, real quick, and then we'll get to the callers because we know people have questions for you. I was talking about this with a friend the other day, how I'm kind of distraught when I see the guys with these disabilities hosting club parties and getting paid to, you know, go to club parties because they're disabled. And a lot of people, you know, they laugh at them on social media because they're funny guys because they're naturally disabled. And it's like, now you got these club promoters booking these guys saying that this guy's going to be at the club, come out. And it's like, what the hell would make me, you know, want to go out and laugh at somebody's disability? You know what I'm saying? Like, I know somebody's making money from it somewhere, but to me it's just kind of, I don't know, it's kind of disgusting. You know what I'm saying? And I'm just like, wow, when you go down the black Instagram and black Twitter, they're all over it. And it was like, this is getting out of hand, man. It's like they're going to try to find people with these disabilities to put them on Instagram videos and make them famous. So it's just a little something I've been seeing lately that I've been like, yo, this is kind of weird to me.
You know, that is enough to make me cry if I think about it long enough. Like, seriously, I didn't know. I'm completely unaware of this ridiculousness. It's
crazy.
Awful. You know, what more can I say besides it's awful? And people need to be ashamed of themselves, you know? And people better watch out for what they do in life, because karma is real. And that's not funny. I don't find it funny at all. I think it's disgusting. And I'm just appalled listening to you tell me, because I had no idea that this is happening.
Yeah, well, if you hang around Instagram long enough,
you're
going to see
some. Special needs community.
Right.
I'm sorry, as a
right.
part of the special needs community, I am so appalled at that. Like, I cannot believe that's some phenomenon happening in the country right now. I cannot believe that. That's disgusting. Like you said, it's just disgusting.
Yeah, well, I when you go to Instagram and stuff like that, of course you'll start running into these different things. But, you know, I put it up on my Instagram pretty much saying how I will never, like, participate in this, you know. Like, I don't follow these guys on Instagram because I'm not trying to laugh at them or whatever they're doing. And, you know, people come up and they come under and they're like, oh, man, you can't knock the hustle. These dudes are making money now. And I'm like, you know, everything isn't a hustle. You know what I'm saying? You can't make everything about money. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah,
of course they're making money, and, you know, they're being able to do things with their family. Okay, cool. But at the same time, I just don't feel it's appropriate. I don't feel it should be a hustle. And a lot of people speaking up about it. But let's get to some callers, Onyx. I know we got some people that really want to talk to Vivian.
And, you know, I'm okay.
Okay, go ahead.
You know,
yeah.
they're making, you said, like, people are like, oh, they're hustling, making their money. But then there are millions of disabled people that have jobs and that make a living for themselves. So they do not have to degrade themselves in that way. That is a sorry excuse that I do not accept in any way, shape, or form. That's bull. No.
And there you have it from Vivian Green, telling you straight up. You know what I'm saying? So, but, you know, let's get the callers on so they can get a chance to talk to you. We know we have a lot of your fans that have been holding on for a while. I want to thank everybody for being patient that's holding on. Onyx, do we have the first caller that wants to speak to Vivian?
I do. Thank you so much. We have a couple of callers coming in, so we're going to try to get you guys on. I'm just going to announce you. So, Stephanie, we have you live with Vivian Green right now.
Oh, my God, I am so nervous right now. I am shaking.
Oh, girl, please, do not be nervous at all.
No,
hi, how are you?
For 16 minutes and 13 seconds. I'm fine. How are you?
I'm great. I'm loving this interview. These guys are great.
I first need to tell you thank you for the great catalog of music that you have given to us. I have been
thank
a fan
you.
Since I was 13 years old. I will never forget the first time I listened to A Love Story. I'll never forget how it felt and how much my siblings used to make fun of me because I knew nothing about this love thing, but I knew that. I know you told us the right things to do. And it's funny because I have a sister who's 4 years younger than me, and she used to laugh at me when I listened to Complete because you say, sometimes I watch you while you're – no, I wake up while you're sleeping just to watch you sleep. I kiss your eyelids and tell you thank you for this reality. She used to think I was a creep. I went to go to school. She's in college now, and I was bringing her back, and we were listening to her iPod, and it came on in her iPod, and I'm looking at her, and she's like, I know. Like, I made fun of you, and I get it. So thank you so much for that. It all just comes full circle. When you put good stuff like that into the universe, it just stays, and it's something that I will probably listen to for the rest of my life. And
Aww, thank you. My advice
comes from you. I just think you are so amazing and beautiful and talented, and I just do not want you to change at all. I mean, continue to grow. Thank you. Because obviously, as you keep going, everything you put out, I'm like, oh, my God, why is she talking to me like this? But you and Algebra and Konya Doss, you are the people that we need. We need you guys, and I thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I thank you. Thank you for being a fan. Thank you for really appreciating the music I put out. I really, really sincerely appreciate it and all your sweet words. Thank you so much.
I'm just so sincere and I'm so excited right now. I'm still shaking. This is the craziest thing ever. When are you coming to Detroit? Are you gonna come to Detroit? Can you come to Detroit?
Yeah, I'll come to Detroit this summer, definitely. My next album comes out in the first week in August, I believe.
Okay.
Release dates often change, but right now it's the first week in August.
Yeah.
So I'll definitely be making the rounds, you know, so I'll be there.
Oh my God. Thank you. Oh, that is going to be amazing. Oh, my God, I can check it off my bucket list now. Thank you so much. Thank you guys for taking my call. You're amazing. Just keep doing what you're doing, and I will see you in Detroit. I'll try to get
Thank
first
you.
You're so welcome. Have a good night, guys.
Thank you. Good night.
Thank you, Stephanie. Oh, that was so dope. I have another fan for you on the line, Vivian. This is Amani. So, Amani, you're live with Vivian Green.
Hi, Miss Green.
Hi.
Well, the first caller, she already asked my question. It was pretty much like, are you going on tour anytime soon? And if you are you coming to Indianapolis?
You know, I do not know. I don't know, you know. I don't know if I've ever been there to do a concert. I'm sorry. So I know I was very quick to say, yes, I'll be, you know, through Detroit because I always go through there when I have a record out. But I don't think I've ever been to Indianapolis, so I don't know. I don't know. What other city is close to you?
You mean like within the state? Well, we're like 3 hours from Chicago. And
yeah, so I'll definitely be there. I'll definitely be in Chicago, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Yeah, I cannot promise that I'll be in Indianapolis, but you know what? Hey, maybe I will, you know?
If you go into Chicago, that's 3 hours away. So, I mean, I can always drive up there.
Yeah. So just, you know, I don't know if you follow me on Twitter, but follow me on Twitter. It's at I am Vivian Green, at I am Vivian Green on Instagram as well. And I always talk about where I'm going. So if you just, you know, look on there every now and then and you see if I'm listing dates and stuff and.
Okay.
I will definitely put it up there, okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. You have a good night.
You too.
Thank you so much. That's awesome, Vivian. That you're in demand, so now you're being like you got a couple cities now you can make it rounds at
right.
that you needed. I'm gonna get you somebody. I know who wants to actually bring you to Indianapolis. That's funny that she's calling and asking if you're gonna go there anyway. So
oh really?
He asked me earlier. He has a magazine. He asked me earlier. About that because I was promoting the show, so that's funny. But you do have another caller on the line, and this is Kay. So, Kay, you're live with Vivian Green.
Hello.
Hi, Vivian.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great.
The other two callers actually asked the same thing I was going to ask. When are you going to go on tour? And if you'll be in New York, most likely you will because it's a major city.
Of course,
But, so since they asked that already, I just wanted to know, do you have a favorite song on your new album already? And if so, could you tell us a title?
couple. I can tell you three titles. or four. there's I'm Blessed. There's Disrespectful. There's All I Want Is You, which is a featuring Raheem Devon. It's a really sexy ballad,
nice.
That one. And there's a song called Broken. So just offhand, right now in my head, those are sticking out. Yeah.
Okay.
So you got that?
Cool,
Broken,
cool.
All I Want Is You, Disrespectful.
Yes, Broken, All I Want Is You, I'm Blessed, and Disrespectful.
Yep, that's it. Yep.
So I'll follow you on Twitter already. You actually follow me back too. I'll be looking out for them tour dates.
Okay, great. And look out for the single. It'll impact next month. It'll impact radio next month. And the album will come out the first week in August. Yep.
Okay, cool. And I like the new single artwork too.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Have a good night.
You too.
Thanks.
That's what's up. Now, Vivian, how does it feel to know that again, even like you said, it was hard for you to come back, but you have this fan base that never left you. How does it feel to be receptive, you know, hear these things and hear these, what the callers are saying about how you've touched their lives with your music?
You know, it's always really sweet to have those diehard fans. They just make you feel so good. They fly out. They drive far. You know, they do amazing things just to see you perform for an hour. And, you know, I'm just grateful to them. I'm really grateful for those fans that know every record I ever put out. You know, you just have to love them. You're so grateful that they followed you, they found your record, and they, you know, they knew, they found out what you were doing. But maybe your PR might not have been hot for that album, but they find everything anyway. You know, you admire that, and you're just very appreciative, and you just feel very blessed. So,
absolutely. Can you give some advice to artists that are wanting to be in this industry and have the same longevity and success that you're able to have?
Just, you know, it's not easy. It's not the security of a of a 9-to-5 job, you know. But it's a hustle. But if you hustle hard and work hard, you know, you can do what you love. But just know that it's not all about the superficial things, you know, and just know there's a whole business side to it that you may not like, but you'll have to do that just as much as you have to do the creative side, you know. You have to do interviews. You have to do photo shoots. You have to shake hands and kiss babies and meet people and smile and go to parties, even if you don't feel like it, you know. If you're tired, you have to do it anyway. You have to look pretty when you don't necessarily feel that way, you know. You have to get on flights at 6 in the morning and red eyes at 10 at night and wake up and do a morning show and you didn't have sleep, you know. But in the end, loving what you do, it makes it all worth it. So just know what you're getting into. It's not always all fun, but you take it all in, you know, and that's what this music business is, you know. And if you love what you do, again, you know, then by all means pursue your dreams. Just know what it is that you're pursuing.
That's right.
So, yeah.
Absolutely.
Real talk.
Yeah.
We really enjoyed you this evening, and it's been such a it's been great. You've been very candid and open with us. I was over here dying laughing. I'm glad I was on mute when you was talking about how you had to learn the lyrics and everything. I'm like, she sound like you in the room rewinding the tape. This before you had the, you know, you could just slide it. We had to rewind, press play. So it's just funny to hear all those moments. We're so glad you shared that with us. One last question for you. If you weren't doing music, because that's pretty much all you, playing piano, writing, everything like that, what would you be doing? Any other hobbies that you have?
I would probably be a psychologist, honestly, like my best friend is. And we went to high school together, and I said I was going to be a singer, and she said she wanted to be a therapist, and I did it, and she did it. And if I didn't have talent, I would probably do what she does, honestly. People would be sitting on my sofa and talking to me. Yep. People
awesome.
Do it now. I just don't charge them, you know. They do it now. I do it for
that's
free
nice.
Now, but that's probably what I would be doing. Yep.
That's interesting. Wonderful. Thank you so much. It's dope. And now I'm going to have to watch House of Cards. I already watched Nellyville, but y'all had me trying to figure out who's president now.
Oh, man, you're going to love it.
He knows. Goldie knows. I don't do shows. I can't commit to the schedules, and I don't want to get, like, caught up because they're so time-consuming.
But that's the great thing about House of Cards is, you know, it's on Netflix. You can watch it whenever you want.
Right.
You don't have to
whenever
worry about it coming
want.
On every Wednesday
oh,
at 10
okay,
o'clock.
Okay.
You watch it whenever you want. Yeah. So that's
well,
what makes it super cool.
One.
Mm-hmm. You'll love it. You'll love it. Yeah.
Okay.
It's like a
it's
modern
intense,
day.
Man. It's an intense show, man. It's one of those shows where, you know, you start watching it and you don't know what to expect, and then you're like, holy, I'm happy that
mm-hmm.
I get to binge watch it, because I wouldn't be
mm-hmm.
able to watch that show if it came on the next week, you know, and I had to wait 7 days. Nah, I get to
yeah.
binge watch that show. I'm a proud binge watcher of that show.
Yeah.
And, you
yep,
know, I just cleared it off my schedule. It's all done. I'm waiting for the next one. Vivian's
mm-hmm.
a binge watcher, so I don't feel like a crazy person. You know what I'm saying?
Yep,
so,
yep, yep.
You gotta start watching. Gotta start yep. watching.
Alrighty. Well, is there anything else that you would like to share, Vision Game, with the audience? You did speak about your upcoming tour dates and where they can find you. Anything else? When are you going to shoot the video?
We already did. I shot a video with Derek Blanks. It came out so amazing.
Nice.
I can't wait for everybody to see it. It's so much
nice.
Fun. It was great. And he's really talented. And he also did the album artwork as well. So I can't wait till people see the images for the album. They're different than the images for the single. So the album images are really just as beautiful as the single images. It's very, very colorful, very vivid, totally matches the album title. And the video is really vibrant and beautiful as well. Derek Blanks is awesome. He did
nice.
A great job. And I'm excited
nice.
About that.
You know what? I got
the album. What'd you say? I'm sorry.
My bad, Vivian. Go ahead and give the album.
Oh, the album
releases
this summer. It should be the first week in August now, but we know how labels often change dates, you know, according to how the single's performing and all that. But right now, it is slated for the first week in August. And my Instagram is at I Am Vivian Green. My Twitter is the same, at I Am Vivian Green. My Facebook, oh, dang, I don't know what the Facebook is. I'm sorry. That's horrible. That's so horrible.
That's okay. They can Google
somebody
you. You're
around. Anywhere. Wait, hold on. I don't know what it is, but hold on.
She's so dope. She's about to give you guys.
Yeah, they could Google it. They'll
right.
be able to find it.
And she's going to find it for you guys. How dope is that?
Vivian working.
Okay,
she's,
so it's facebook.com/IamVivianGreen. I'm sorry. It's my
there
Facebook.
That's awesome.
And the album is going to release under Make Noise Music, which is producer, artist Kwame's label under Universal Caroline.
Kwame.
I'm really excited about it.
He's
really
so
excited.
Dope.
And I'm just ready to get back out there. The single will impact next month. Going to go on iTunes next month. You can buy it. And, you know, the train is
nice.
Leaving the station. So
that's
nice.
Getting geared up. Yep.
Well,
we're
on board. On the train. You know what I'm saying? We definitely going to be repping it. We're going to be looking
thank
out
you.
For it. You know what I'm saying? Another quick question for you, Vivian, before you go. You got a beautiful face, man. Not many women can wear super short hair and just have that face. You planning on doing any campaigns? You know, Janelle Monae, these girls on CoverGirl. Are you headed to any of that on your campaign run with your album? Maybe so they could see you in a different light.
Well, first,
with
thank
these
you.
Different
that is so sweet
here.
for you to say. I appreciate that. My hair is
okay,
super
cool.
duper short again. Very similar to how it was my first album. Probably even a little shorter though at this time. I'm definitely going to rock it like that this time. I know fans like that. They never liked when I changed my hair ever. So I was like, you know what? I keep fighting against what they like because I'm like, it's my hair. I can do what I want. But I'm like,
right.
they like my hair this way. When I have an album out, when I'm out there on the road, I'm going to make sure my hair is that way. Now, in between, I can do what I want, but I need to have my hair the way my fans like it because they took it very personally every time I changed it to something.
Yes, they did.
So it is very short. It is my natural color. And, you know, I have a great publicist this time around. She's really great. So, you know, hopefully she can get me some type of beauty, something, you know, that would be great. You know, but
no
I know
doubt.
She's going after everything. So I know she's going hard
you're
after
gonna
everything.
You're going to land it. You're going to land it. I know
oh,
it. Because
thank you.
Every
that's
time
so
I look
sweet.
At your face, I'm like, yo, you should definitely be on something. And you remember when Claire had to go back on the campaign, she had to turn that hair black.
She
back
did.
Blonde.
act blind because that's how people like to see it.
Oh, my goodness.
Let me stop talking about how. Let's let Vivian go.
Well, again, we cannot thank you enough. You're very beautiful inside and out, warm-spirited, and humble at that, and just very hardworking, and we rooting for you. We can't wait to see more. We want to have you back at a later date as well, so we're right there in your corner, and I'm going to definitely shoot you or whomever, your management, the information for Indianapolis, because he did hit me this morning for that, so...
Okay, awesome.
Yeah,
thank you. I appreciate that so much. That's awesome. Yeah, and hopefully I can come back and do the show either after the single impacts or when the record comes out or somewhere around that time we'll come back. I would love to. You guys are great.
That would be great.
Fun interview. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We really
awesome.
Appreciate
thank you,
your
Vivian.
Time
we appreciate
tonight.
It.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
And that was the lovely Vivian Green checking in with Global 14 The Cut. Dope interview, you know what I'm saying? We got to learn a lot about Vivian tonight, man.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
her fans will be pleased with that interview, man. They got to learn about
Absolutely.
Personal stuff, music stuff, well-rounded person, beautiful person, like you said, inside and out. We are rooting for Vivian, so, you know, everybody make sure they follow her movement, follow her on her social networks, you know what I'm saying, and let's support you know, good people, man. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
People can't keep giving assholes money. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
there's some people that
you
just
know?
Don't deserve it, and then there's some people that do.
Absolutely, and I definitely I love her dedication to family. You know, of course, we're big on that as well. Family first, and me, my you know, my sons, and just everything. You gotta have a balance, and you gotta try to set the best example. So I think that's one of the things as well that I love about her is wanting to put that example out there and not selling yourself short. And then also compromising with your fans, you know. Like she said, they want my hair short, so I'm going to go ahead and do it, you know. Sometimes let the fans have what they want. So I think that's amazing, you know. She's giving and giving back as well. So but thank you to all of the callers. Shout out to you guys for being patient and calling
yes,
in and
yes,
having that,
indeed.
You know, that you're – you know, hanging in, and hopefully you get an opportunity to catch Vivian Green in your city, and just stay tuned to everything that she's got going on. I wish we could have gave somebody, like, some tickets or something. Maybe we'll try to do something next time, go around. We'll
maybe we holler at her
out,
and try
but,
to do some, yeah, but
yeah,
she get the
try
road
to do some
something.
Type of meet and
no.
greet or something, yeah. But, because, you know, like how Mint Condition did when they came on the show when they did the meet and greet.
Dope.
And I'm actually friends with her on social media, and so that
yeah,
was
Tasha?
That was very... Yes, aren't you with her? Are
yeah,
you with
man,
her too?
We
the one
we've been
that
kicking it ever since.
Yeah, ever since she met. So that's dope how you can connect with people. And so the internet, right, Vivian had said earlier, gift and curse, most certainly. But you guys, again, thank you to everybody that listened in tonight. Special guest, Vivian Green. Next week, we are going to have, we're going to keep this R&B thing rolling. Next week, we actually going to have a film director, an aspiring film director from Atlanta by the name of Bobby Dudley. Now, Bobby Dudley just dropped a trailer as a pitch per se for a new edition film biopic. And let me just tell you guys, if you haven't checked this out yet, you should go on YouTube and just kind of Google Bobby Dudley films or new edition biopic or new edition heartbreak movie, because he was super dope in putting this trailer together. And it was just
yeah.
very, very dope. So we're going to have him on. We love to speak to people and entrepreneurs such as ourselves who are on the move and getting ready to do something great. And we want to just speak to him about how it all came about. So he'll be on next week, and again, a new edition, talking about new edition and what he's got going on. And then just stay tuned in because we got a couple more people coming on. And artists, we didn't tell you how you could get your music considered. I got like 4 records this week, Golden. So I want to pass
yeah,
them
in yeah,
to you.
Yeah,
yeah,
we got yeah. records in the email. We got records in the G14, the Cut email. You know, I know you got records in your personal email. I got 2 records
yeah.
in my personal email. So
got,
people are looking
4.
Forward to that show, definitely. So we definitely got to get that coming up here shortly, because cats are anxious to get their music played, and they hit me on Twitter. I got hit on Twitter yesterday. So
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they want to get him on the show most definitely, and we're gonna make it happen for y'all. So you know, just stay tuned to the date of the show. But we're about to definitely get your music on Independent Night, and we're gonna have some fun with that.
Absolutely. Well, I think that's pretty much a wrap. I don't know what happened to the background music. It just kind of faded out, but that's all good. So, yeah, you guys, next week we're back, same time, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Pacific. This is, don't forget, Jamina, please, Global 14, The Cut. So check out global14.com and follow their Twitters at Global 14. And you can also follow our Twitter at Global 14, The Cut. My Twitter at Onyx254.
And you can hit me at The Golden Fleece, THAGOLDENFLEECE on Twitter, Instagram, and global14.com. Thanks, everybody, for listening tonight. Awesome interview. And, yeah, me and Onyx about to go do some other things because we do a lot of other things. Work
yeah,
never stops.
Seriously.
Grind never stops. You know what I'm saying? So on to our next grind. You know what I'm saying? But we out.
Absolutely. And we need the write out to this Jagged Edge, so hopefully we can get that up and running. Oh, and then shout out to the our tech Lamont for holding it down
yes,
the board, making sure everything was ready to go, and we've got Miss Vivian Green's music ready. So again, we should write out to that single again, but just in case, you guys, we did drop that twice. The single that she mentioned will be coming out next month. We had the exclusive and we played it for you tonight. So if you missed any part of tonight's interview and broadcast, do go back and play tonight's episode and you can hear the new record, Right Back to My Baby. So, yeah, that's it. We're going to be out there.